That goes right into our message today. We're finishing up our series this month called Signs and Wonders Following. And today's message is increasing the release. In other words, increasing the release of the supernatural, of miracles, of signs, of wonders, of hearing from God and talking to God and seeing visions and dreaming dreams and all of that. Every gift in the Spirit that you can think of and more. I don't think that's a finite list in the Scriptures. I think there's more than that. And the question that I have for you today as we talk about that is, are you happy? Are you happy with your life? Are you happy with your life? Don't answer out loud. Just answer in your head. Are you happy with your life? If you are, I submit to you that when you begin moving in the supernatural, your life gets even happier. But if you're not happy with your life, I believe this is the key to having happiness in your life. Happiness. I know we always have joy. Let's don't go all Christian on me. Christianese. Oh, Pastor, we're always supposed to have joy. Yes, we are. We are. You're right. But I don't think God came to just give us joy. I think he also came to give us happiness. I think that's what abundant life looks like. I do. You see, the enemy, when he finds out that we commit our lives to Christ and we make the great exchange of all of our sins for his goodness, when we make that great, he goes, well, I can't keep them out of heaven now, so my goal is to make them live a low life. That's my goal. I really believe that. What is a low life? A low life is living for the here and now with no thought of the kingdom, no thought of the supernatural, no thought of increasing the release from God to earth, no thought of expanding his kingdom, just get up, go to work, go home, eat dinner, work out, catch a show, go to sleep, get up, go to work, go home, eat dinner, work out. We were born for more than that. We were born for more than that. I believe God is calling us to a high life, and it has nothing to do with a beverage. That's an age joke, sorry. Has nothing to do with a beverage. It's a high life he's calling us to. And when we're living in the high life, that's when we're happy. Because that's when every part of us that he put inside of us, everything that he deposited inside of us is active and living and breathing and we're dreaming his dreams and we're seeing what he sees. That's the high life. So how can we increase the release of that? How can we increase the release of the high life? Point number one. Look for what God is doing and partner with his agenda. I think so many times we say, okay, God, this is what I want to do now. Will you come and bless it? Okay, God, this is my plan for my life. Will you come and just add your favor to it? And, you know, he's gracious enough that he does. But I think we can increase the release of the high life by looking at what he's doing and partnering with that, partnering with what he wants to accomplish. I'll give you an example. How many of you heard of the Ark of the Covenant? Raise your hand. Looks like that. Well, that's one artist's depiction of it, at least. Looks like that, the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, let me break out some prizes here. Put another M&M over here because I have a question for you, and I'm hoping somebody under the age of 21 might be able to answer this question without their smartphone. Without your tablet. No tablets, no smartphones. The question is, what was stored inside the Ark of the Covenant under the age of 21 without any electronics? What was put in the Ark of the Covenant? There are three things. If you can tell me one, you can come and get a prize. Okay, over here, Alicia. The Ten Commandments. You got it. Come on down, get a prize. All right. All right. Now, JC's going to go ask her mom. I know. That's what you did too. I know. That's all right. It's good for parents to help you. What else was in the Ark of the Covenant, Kylie? The what? Aaron's stick. You said the almond stick, and you're right. It did blossom into almonds. Come on down and get your prize. All right. One more thing. The Ten Commandments, they're up here. Aaron's staff. Alex, what was the third thing? Very good. A jar of manna. Come on down, Alex. You can tell it's family worship because I have prizes, right? A jar of the manna. And it was interesting because when God gave Moses the instructions on how to build this Ark of the Covenant, that's what he told him to put inside. And I believe it was extremely representative of his presence and his power, because the mercy seat went directly on top of the Ark of the Covenant. That's where they would offer the sacrifices and such. And so it was important that the Ark of the Covenant was with the people of old, because this was before Jesus died on the cross and we had God's manifest presence here on the earth. And so this Ark was representative of God's power and his presence. That's why there was a jar of manna, Aaron's staff, and the Ten Commandments. It was representative of his power and his presence. Now I better move these prizes because they're going to be a distraction to somebody. I can just tell. Somebody's going, I want those Skittles, man. I want those Skittles. My kids get them. Whatever they get whatever's left over. That's the agreement that I have with them because I love them so much. So, but here's the problem. In the old days, when King David was king, the Ark of the Covenant was in someone else's home. It was in a different city, and he felt called by God to bring it to the city of Jerusalem. And adults, because this is family worship Sunday, I'm not going to tell you what happened. Some of you may know, and some of you may need to do some reading after you go home on the scriptures right before the ones I'm going to give you. But something happened that caused David to be afraid of God and angry at God. Have you ever been angry at God? Come on, fess up. I have. Have you ever been afraid of God? I have. And so there came a point where David was like, I don't think I want the Ark of the Covenant. I'm too afraid to try to bring it to Jerusalem, and I'm too angry at God. So I'm just going to put it in this guy's house. And I'm just going to let it stay there until I figure this out. The guy's name was Obed-Edom. We're going to call him Mr. O. Everybody say Mr. O. Yep, that's where the ark stayed. And then in 2 Samuel 6, 11 and 12, we hear these words. It says, the ark of the Lord remained there in Mr. O's house for 3 months. The Lord blessed Mr. O and his entire household. Then King David was told, the Lord has blessed Mr. O's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God. What? God was pouring out blessing on Mr. O and his entire household because the Ark was in his house just because he was around the presence and power of God. Okay? That's powerful when you think about it. The Lord has blessed Mr. O's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went there and brought the Ark of God from the house of Mr. O to the city of David with a great celebration. You see, there came this tipping point in David's life. For a while, his fear and his anger towards God were more weighty than his desire for God's presence and blessings. He left it there. He was more afraid of what would happen when he tried to bring it back, and he was angry at God for what happened in trying to bring it back. So he said, I'm leaving it there. But then there came this tipping point where he heard through the grapevine, hey, you know where the ark is? That guy's getting blessed. His entire household is getting blessed. And at some point, David said, okay, I want the presence and power of God more than I'm afraid of God or angry at him. I am willing to sacrifice and give up my fear and my anger towards God because I see that his blessings and his presence are so important that I really want those more than anything else. I think if we're going to increase the release, our desire for God's presence and blessings have to become more significant than our anger or our fear towards God. Now, I'm not saying we never have anger or fear. We all have had moments, I'm sure, if not longer than that. I don't know about you. I'm just at a place in my life where I see that his blessings, his presence, his power is so much huger than any fear, than any anger that I have, that I'm just going after it. I'm just going after his power and his presence. Number two, another way to increase the release, celebrate what God is doing instead of questioning what he isn't. Oh, that's a good one. Let's read in John 5, 1 through 9 in the good old NASB, New American Standard Bible. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is in Hebrew called Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude. How many? A multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease which he was afflicted. So you get the picture? There's this pool. There's a multitude of people who are paralyzed, who are sick, who are diseased, all these things wrong with him. And an angel would come down and they would stir the waters. And when the waters were stirred, like we were singing about today, whoever got into the water first after the water stirred would be healed. Right? So I'll make sure you're with me on that. Verse 5, a man who was there who had been ill for 38 years. Raise your hand if you're under the age of 38. That's a long time. Pat, you're dreaming, man. You are dreaming. But I like dreamers. That's good. I'm calling you out. 38 years he had been lame. 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been already a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you wish to get well? Now, I'm sorry. That seems like a dumb question. But who am I, right? Who am I? I'm just saying. But the answer is worse than the question. The answer's worse. He said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. I think he said it in that tone of voice too, pretty sure. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Why didn't he say, yes, I want to get well? Instead, he said, I have this excuse on why it doesn't happen. Some of us, we need to give up our excuses. We just need to stop with the excuses. And if Jesus says to you, do you want to get well? There's only one answer. Yes. Yes. Do you want to be set free? Yes. Do you want to be provisionally blessed? Yes. There's only one answer. Well, but I don't know. Jesus said to him, Jesus didn't say to him, well, forget you. That was a stupid answer. I'm out of here. I love the compassion that he has. I really do. I wish, that's my goal, to become more compassionate, because I taught junior high for a while, you know? And so this sarcastic side of me comes out. Sometimes I have to watch it. But Jesus didn't have that. He was better than me for sure. He said, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now here's the question I have for us today. If that happened today in Cleveland, Ohio, and there were 10 reporters there, what would their story be? Their story would be, there was a multitude of people who were sick and lame and they didn't get healed. That's probably what their story would be. There was one wacko that got healed, but there's probably some reason for that. The Pharisees, when they heard it, you know what they did? They got all bent out of shape because the healing happened on the Sabbath. And you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Hey, kids, can everybody sit down? It's really hard to focus on what I'm doing here. I'm trying hard to work with you and help you, but I need your help too, okay? Can you sit down and be really quiet? Shh, just be really quiet for a few more minutes, okay? Thank you. I know it's hard to sit still, but I love family worship, and I'm glad you're in here. So the question is, are we going to celebrate what God is doing? Are we going to question what he isn't doing? Whoever wrote this, John, who wrote this account, I love that he just told the story of the guy who got healed. He didn't try to make up an explanation or a reason on all the ones who didn't get healed. If we want to increase the release, we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision to celebrate what God is doing rather than questioning what he isn't. And can I tell you, I believe at Oak River, we're at a fork in the road right now. Because we've already had some miracles happen here at Oak River. People are starting to get healed. Miracle testimonies are coming in almost on a weekly basis. Answers to prayer, right? We have a choice. We can either celebrate what God is doing, or we can say, well, why didn't it happen for this person? Why didn't it happen for that person? Why did it happen this way? We have a choice. I just want to celebrate and focus on what God is doing, because I cannot understand what he is not. So why don't, instead of questioning it and getting in that quagmire of why and when and how, just celebrate what he is doing. Number three, honor the gift without judging the wrapping. I have a really nice gift for someone here. Doesn't it look like a nice gift? What do you think? Think that's a nice gift? Well, here's the thing. Take out your program. One of you are going to get this gift. If there is a little yellow, sticky thing on your program, oh, there it is, Roseanne. You get the gift. And I'm not going to make you touch the dirt because it is kind of nasty. But here's the gift. Instant Happiness, which is $25 gift card to Chipotle. Oh yeah. Now, if you don't like Chipotle, I'm sure there's some people over in that corner over there who love Chipotle, so really there's no pressure if you don't want it. That's kind of a generational gift, I know. Okay, fess up. How many of you have never eaten at Chipotle? Raise your hand. Yep. Oh, yeah, well, Nick, you don't count because you're allergic to cilantro, but yeah. You see, what we do with God's gifts is we judge the wrapping rather than the gift. And Jesus talked about it in Luke 4, 24 through 27. This is immediately following the passage I preached from last Sunday, if you missed it and you want to catch it online. He says, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon," a foreigner. "And there were many in Israel with leprosy at the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Again, a foreigner. So what Jesus is saying here is that you can't handle the gift because of the wrapping. Now, what do you mean by that? I think this is what he means right here. How can that guy have a gift from God? I know his mama. I know his daddy. I also know what he was like when he was a teenager. Whew. Do you know what he did? Did you hear about what he did when he was 19? Bad kid. There's no way that Elijah could have a gift from me, from God. There's no way that Elisha, have you met his brother and sister? Did you hear what they did? And so they could not accept the gift because of the wrapping that it came in. And some of us, before we start doing this on them, we do the same thing. Have you ever had someone that you really didn't like come up and give you a word that you knew was from the Lord? And you go, "Huh, I don't really understand that." Well, because God is bigger than us. He can understand things that we can't. And I think he almost takes delight in surprising us at who he can work through. I mean, if he can talk through a donkey, pretty sure he can talk through anybody else, right? This morning on my way to church, I was driving to church. I had worship music cranking. I was all in the spirit, right? And these two kids were on the side of the road, and they were furiously waving and smiling like this. And the car in front of me ignored them. That didn't stop them. They just kept waving and smiling. Well, I was a kid once. I know what they're wanting. I'm smiling and waving and honking the horn. And when I go back, I look in my rearview mirror and they're like, "Yes! Yes! Yes!" They didn't care that it was me who was doing it. They didn't care that it was a minivan and not a sports car. They didn't care. They just wanted a response. Sometimes God sends a message through someone unexpected and he says, "Am I going to get a response?" Doesn't matter what they're driving. Doesn't matter. Just wants a response. Okay, number four. Tear down the blessing blockers. Tear down the blessing blockers. There are three that I wanted to address today quickly. Point A, believing the lie, God just can't be that good. Have you ever felt like God wanted to do something in your heart, in your life, and you thought, "No way, God just can't be that good"? You got to tear down that lie. You have to tear down that lie. Yes, God is that good. Point B, believing the lie, God only intervenes for those who deserve it. Ah, that's a sneaky one. Of course that person got healed. They're closer to God than I am. Of course that person heard from him. Of course that person had a vision. They're closer to God than I am. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. That will block the blessings in your life. It will block them. Celebrate what he does in someone else's life and know that even if he has never given you a vision, he's never spoken to you in a way that makes sense to you, doesn't mean he won't ever in the future. You have to open yourself up, like we sang about this morning, open your heart up to the possibility that he will. And don't block that with the lie that he only does for people who deserve it. That is such a lie. Oh, I hate that lie. And then point C, believing the lie that God is picky about who he'll use in the supernatural. You see, here's what we do. We convince ourselves that God only uses pastors and elders. And that's why we have these levels. No, that's not. That is not it at all. God intended for every single person who is a follower of his to live the high life, to walk in supernatural ways. Well, I never have before. So what? Now you will. Now you will. Don't believe that lie. That's such a trick. It was so interesting because I got my whole message done. I sent it out to Ron and Roger and Judy on Wednesday. And then Thursday afternoon or morning, I can't remember which now, I sat down to listen to a message. And the message was finding out what pleases God. And you know what his three main points were? If you can know this, this pleases God. For you to know this, believe it, be completely 100% convinced, fully persuaded. Here we go. Number one, God is good. Wait, I just said that. Number two, God loves the world. Now, we've memorized the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But somehow we forget that he loves the world. Oh, don't be like the world. No, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to love the world. We're not supposed to be conformed to the world, but we're supposed to love the world. Come on, God loves the world. And his third point was, God loves me and he likes me. God loves me and he likes me. Because somewhere in our thinking, in our praying, we become these beggars. And we're like, oh God, please, please pour out your healing on me. How many of you like it when your kids whine to you? Oh, not me. I used to say, Mom, I can't hear those. I can't even hear those words. I just would not respond because I do not like whining. I don't like it. When we come to God, if we have a deep assurance that he loves us and he likes us, we don't come with that. We don't come with that. Oh, I know I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. He already knows that. You already know that. Just get past it. He likes you anyway. He loves you anyway. Oh, I want us to live the high life at Oak River. I want us to go deep, 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 deep so we can live the high life. Because when you're living the high life, you're consistently aware that God wants to intervene in your life. He wants to intervene in your life so that he can bless you because he likes you, and he wants to intervene in your life so that he can reach others and pour out his love on them through you. He wants to do that. He gets excited about doing that. Don't settle. Don't settle for the low life. Young people, don't settle for anything less than the high life. Don't settle for anything less than being fully alive in your spirit. In your spirit, being fully alive, in contact with God, hearing from him, talking to him, asking him, what do you want me to do with my life after high school? Instead of feeling all the pressure on your back, ask him, what plans do you have for me? What plans do you have for me? That's the high life, folks. That is the high life. God, I just pray a blessing over this body right now, that we will consistently look for ways to live higher. And God, I cast off the spirit of performance that tells us we have to be good enough to be used by you. We have to be good enough. That is a lie, God. And I cast that down right now. I cast down every thought that comes into conflict with you are good, God. You are good. And I just ask you to begin showing us at all ages, God. I love that it's family worship today because all ages can hear this message that you want to pour out your blessings on us. You want to, with your power and your presence, be with us every moment of the day. Show us how to live the high life, God. Show us moment by moment. We will not give up because we haven't heard from you in the way that we think we should. We will just keep pressing on and keep believing and hoping and praying that you will pour out yourself on us and your spirit on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. He is so, so good.